Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth Is Out There radio show. We got a great show. We got the next congressman out of CD22. He has arrived, and we're going to put him on in a second. And we got a very good show. I want to introduce you to my co-host, Scarlett. How are you doing, Scarlett?
I am doing great. Great to be here, Joe.
Great. Get this show in before any other storms come by. But right now, we have a great candidate. He is in a position to actually clear the slate in CD22 as the incumbent over there is resigned. He retired and he resigned to go to work for a company in Israel. And that kind of leaves CD22 on the open slot to be taken. I don't know if there's a Democrat running or not in that now. They're probably going to have to pay in to get in the way he did it. But let me introduce you to the next congressman that's out there in 22, and James Pruden. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing great, Joe. Thanks for having me on this evening.
You know, I'm going to tell you, you kind of, looks like you kind of lucked out when Ted Deutch decided not to run for re-election and even resign from office beforehand. That kind of leaves an open seat. How's that going to affect you in the campaign?
Well, it does and it doesn't. I've got mixed feelings about it, to be honest, Joe, because first of all, as you know, I ran in the last election, the 2020 election, against Ted Deutch, and we actually had a fantastic result. Other than Clay Shaw's win in 2004, I actually received more votes in that area than any Republican candidate had received in the last 30 years. And so, that was our first run. And so we were teed up to give Ted a real hard run, and you know, we had done a lot of work on competitive analysis and looking at his voting record, and, you know, we were ready to hammer him pretty good, you know, that there's no secret the Democrat administration has made a disaster of our country. So, you know, Ted was kind of a known, you know, on one hand, he had known recognition, but on the other hand, you know, he had a known history. And so what's going to happen now, Joe, is that the Democrat Party, you know, you can't sell them short. They know how to run a campaign, and they're going to produce a candidate that, you know, is certainly, you know, somebody that has got some credentials behind them. One has already come up. That's Jared Moskowitz. He was a director of emergency management in the state of Florida. And so, you know, they will get behind a candidate and pull out all the stops and make their best efforts and use all the resources that they have. So, you know, this is not going to be a walk in the park. It's going to be, a hard run. We're going to give them a hard run. But, you know, we're very optimistic because, again, we had done so well in the last run. And, you know, my credentials certainly will match up with anybody that they want to put forward. So, you know, we're out there and we're going to give it 110%.
You know, I know CD22 pretty well. I was the campaign manager for Nicholas Kamas when he ran for a while. Mm-hmm. And so I knew inside and out of that. So, and that was back in 2018. In 2020, I was kind of getting all the, doing the radio show and everything else, and I was more or less into the Jesse's camp, you know, and that, and I saw a lot of dirty politics going on both times, both in 2018 and 2020. How does it feel right now in this time? Are you focused for against the Democrat, or you got a battle between everybody in the primary?
No, I, you know, as with the 2020 campaign, you really can't find anything where I had any battles with any of the other primary candidates. You know, I mean, we solidly won the primary and went on, like I said, to have a good showing against Ted. And, my strategy is to run against the Democrat candidate, not really run against the Republican candidates. Rely on my qualifications and background, rely on my platform, and rely on my campaign plan, which is an aggressive plan.
Okay, let's start going over your plan so our listeners could support you and know where you're coming from. I know they probably know a lot about you because of last run, but things have changed with what's going on around the world as well as what's going on in D.C. And the big question is how, when you win and go into D.C., how are you going to change things?
Well, you know, there's a couple strategies there. You know, first of all, I've been inducted by an organization called the America First Pact. The America First PAC is growing significantly, made up of a number of both Senate and congressional candidates from around the country who have, you know, they've screened everybody that's part of that group and has joined it. And, you know, we're all America First candidates. And so we will have a very, very large contingent. You know, I think we're between 30 and 35 right now and rapidly growing in candidates. So we will have a very, very strong contingent up there. We'll have a very strong voice on America First policies. And, you know, also in the meantime, you know, that Trump has been working hard and in the background trying to get, you know, congressional candidates elected that, you know, are America First type candidates, you know, that support the platform that had made us successful for the 4 years prior to the Biden administration. So, you know, we're going to rely on those alliances and coalitions and stay true to our platform. You know, in particular, you know, certainly we are currently fighting off a movement to transform the United States into first they call it socialist style, but really the ultimate plan is to transform us into a Marxist style society. And we're going to push hard on that. And, I mean, we can, we can get into some platform issues, you know, if you want, in very specific platform issues. But,
what's your number one platform issue? What's your number one issue? My guess would be border security and freedom.
Well, you know, freedom is incorporated in a lot of sub-issues, but quite frankly, the number one issue that is out in the population right now is stabilizing the inflation and the economy. If you look at all the statistics right now, that's the number one hitter on there, because people are feeling the pain at this point in time. You know, the average person is going to spend about $3,500 more a year for the same set of goods and services they would have paid a year earlier. And, you know, the average person, that's a big, big dig in their pocket and will significantly change their lifestyle. So, you know, there's a lot of things that underline the issue with inflation. So, you know, I would say that, you know, it is a starting point that, you know, prior to the commencement of the Biden's administration, you know, we were experiencing the longest economic expansion since 1854. You know, we had record low unemployment for individuals of every race and age and gender. And that success, you know, was prompted by reforms and legal regulations and trade, as well as targeted tax cuts, energy independence, which is a big deal right now, and, you know, free market programs that empowered working Americans and businesses. So Biden came on and they basically reversed all those policies. And that's led to you know, inflationary trend that we have. So we're looking to reverse that, to restore the stability of America's finances. So that's number one.
We need, you know, we need to bring the prices down. We need to start becoming energy independent and get rid of the regulations that this idiot's doing, putting in and all that stuff. And we got to get back to drilling, because everything is tied into energy. And now they just raised, the Fed just raised interest rates by 25 basis points today, with more to come. That's tightening money. And as a congressman, you might have a say on that and to get things going. How would you do it?
You know, again, what we need to do right away is go in and reverse the damage of the Biden administration. We have to go after the he reversed the Trump administration's programs, again, on the federal regulations. Take, for example, the oil industry, energy, okay? You know, they passed a number of oppressive regulations that would, you know, oppress the oil market. You know about the XL pipeline, obviously. They shut that down. And, you know, Biden has gone on TV and said, oh, you know, the energy crisis is not my fault. You know, there's all these leases out there that the oil companies could be drilling, and, you know, all they have to do is just, you know, start drilling, we'll have oil. And that's a deception on the American people. Because, you know, first of all, it's not as easy as just going down the road next week and throwing a drill in the ground and all of a sudden you got oil flowing out of it. You know, it doesn't work that way. It's a long lead time. You know, there are leases out there for, you know, virgin property where you have to put roads in to even get to it. You have to find, first of all, you need to find where, you know, you could get a well to produce oil. Then you got to put the roads in. Before you even get that far, you have to get in line and get a number of permits in place. So a lot of the regulatory roadblocks that they have in place relate to permitting and reviews. So on one hand, he says, well, you got these leases, but then on the other hand, the reality is we can't use them. So that's the problem, and we need to reverse those roadblocks and encourage the oil companies to step up and take that risk. I mean, who in the world would risk millions of dollars, you know, on a single well when you know you got you know, a government that is ready to shut you down, you know, just as soon as you get it turned up. I mean, look at the XL pipeline. We're going to town. We're bringing that down, and right in the in the middle of construction, Biden comes along and a wave of a pen, he shut it down. So, you know, one is that you've got to instill confidence in the energy market for them to even undertake the millions of dollars of investment to even get the ball rolling on drilling. So, the, you know, this whole business about we can drill tomorrow is a fantasy. So, again, we need to backstop on those regulations that the Biden administration has done through his executive orders. You know, it, one of his first executive orders of last year was a direct attack on the energy market. So we've got to reverse that.
How about AMWA? You know, AMWA, that's another area that has more oil and natural gas in AMWA than anywhere else in the world, and it's right there.
That's correct, and you have to have programs in place that will provide an incentive for the energy companies to go and exploit that. And you're absolutely right. You know, the United States could be energy independent for, you know, the next 200 years. And, you know, there's a lot of things with this Green New Deal that they're trying to push. That's really what this is all about, that is really insincere in its motives. Everything, you know, I've been reading legislation that comes out, the proposed legislation. I've been reading the executive orders, and they sprinkle, you know, all these words about the global warming in there, you know, around these, you know, ridiculous things that have nothing to do with global warming or, you know, changes in, you know, the way we operate that would have no effect on global warming. Yet, you know, they try and claim and they throw these words around in the body of legislation about, you know, the objectives being to address global warming. It gives you a good example. You know, they had discussion up there about Bitcoin, whether or not they establish a reserve bank, if you will, for the Bitcoin. And when you read the commentary on it, they claim something is words about you know, the environment and global warming. So, like, what does Bitcoin have to do with global warming? It's silliness. You know, another thing that was in that change in the executive order that spoke about from last January, not this January, but January a year ago, was this component that's known as the 30-30 plan. Okay? And you may or may not have heard about that. It's something that was buried deep into that executive order. Not a lot of people understand it. Not a lot of people talking about it. But it's very, very significant. And
what is it?
So the 30-30 plan is that, you know, in his executive order, you know, Biden, you know, commissioned a committee to go and put together a plan whereby 30% of the land mass and waterways, for that matter, of the United States would be under federal government control by the year 2030. So that's why I call it a 30-30. You know, 30% of the land mass and waterways by 2030, that it would be under control or regulated by the federal government. Now, you know, what they're going after, they're not going after the desert. You know, what they're going after is the agricultural belt. And, you know, 30% of our land mass is like 9.5, almost 10 times the size of the state of Nebraska. You're talking about a significant power grab over, you know, United States territory. And, you know, you take that in conjunction with, you know, these other documents that have been produced where they talk about, again, the global warming aspect. You know, they kill farmers when they till the land. They release carbon into the air, so they want to discourage our farmers from tilling the land. And, you know, I grew up on a farm. I know a lot about agriculture. You know, I came out of the agricultural belt. And, you know, to say that farmers are, you know, producing all this carbon is just bizarre. Because in the current crop, the crops are fruits and crops all produce oxygen, okay? And so when you plant those crops, you're producing oxygen from those crops. And so it way offsets whatever kind of de minimis amount of carbon release you get when you till the land, if in fact there really is any carbon release. But, you know, it's all a, you know, insincere device to disrupt and take down our agricultural economy, just like they've done through the energy market. So think about it, if you will. If the United States all of a sudden, like on energy, we were energy self-sufficient when they came in office. And think about, you know, by 2030, all of a sudden we have a crisis where we are not self-sufficient on food source. And we become dependent on foreign countries for our food for the first time since the 1600s. Okay.
That's being done deliberately. All of this is being done deliberately because they want to make the most powerful country in the world to be one of the, to be a third world nation. It's also part of a thing called Agenda 21. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, this all, you know, is an outgrowth of the Agenda 21 from years ago, where, you know, it's this one world order that they've got, and you know, part of accomplishing that is that, you know, basically what they're doing is they're attacking our economic, political, and social structure in order to weaken the company, the country rather, and create a crisis to such extent that the general population would be malleable and agreeable to a significant transformation in our social, political, and economic structure. That's the grand plan. And, you know, a lot of people used to think that was, you know, conspiracy theorists. And at this point, they've really come out of the closet, if you will, and have openly admitted that is the plan. You know, John Kerry, who is Joe Biden's emissary on this global warming issue, and also represented him at the World Economic Forum, openly announced, okay, and it's out there. You know, you can get the quotes from him. He openly announced that the Biden administration is on board with the Great Capitalist Reset. And the Great Capitalist Reset is a movement by the World Economic Forum to transform all the free market economies into socialist-based economies. And so they've openly admitted and announced that they're on board with it. As a matter of fact, not only did they say we're on board with it, but he said that it's going to happen quicker than anybody would expect. Okay, so we're not talking about conspiracies. I mean, they openly admit it and acknowledge it.
Yeah, but they're going to lose the House and the Senate. So, because there is no way that people are happy about what's going on in the country. Not everybody's stupid enough to walk in the oven twice like they did with Obama, and they know Biden stole the election. So they may want it, but that's just not going to happen.
Okay. Well, yes, it's true. We say that. I mean, that's why we're all out there running hard to try and get a hold of it. The damage that they have done already is significant. It goes far beyond what the average person, you know, knows and understands. You know, everybody goes to work every day. You know, they have a job. They, you know, they come home. They have to trust their government to run this country. And they're unaware of the massive changes that have been taking place that will take us in that direction. And there,
yeah, but
the
one
problem.
Thing they are aware of is that money is tight, gas is expensive, and prices to shop are expensive. And when people go to vote, they think about what's in their wallet.
Well, that's right. They think about what's in their wallet. But the question is, has the government done so much damage to the economic stability of the United States that we are at a point that we're unrecoverable? And I would say that
I think we are recoverable. I think we are a strong nation.
Well, we're a strong nation, but you know, let's talk about the national debt for a moment. Okay. Many people fail to realize that one of the greatest threats to our national security and our economic stability is, in fact, the national debt. And, you know, we right now had exceeded the $29 trillion by the year end of 2021. The original projections when I ran in 2020 was that we were not going to be at $29 trillion until 2030. And, you know, I had run spreadsheets on the impact of carrying that kind of debt, and I compared it with the Congressional Budget Office, and their analysis, you know, matched up with mine. And that is that we are recently approaching a point where we can't service that debt. You know, at the rate that we're going right now, okay, and if Biden were to get the you know, his Build Back Better plan passed, and he almost
got
it.
He's not going to get that because Manchin and Sununu are going to give it to him.
Well,
okay,
that,
and
that,
we have no true. Republicans are going to vote for it. Murkowski's going to lose her seat. Another one, Patty Murray, she's losing her seat. Romney's an idiot. He's going to lose his seat. Okay.
Yeah.
So there
yeah,
are
well, when you get reelected,
Schumer's going to lose his seat. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say it. There are a lot of rhinos sitting in that Senate. They're going to lose their seats. Okay.
Well,
Mitch McConnell's not going to get a pass this time.
You're right. You're right. And so, you know, here's what has to happen because we're on path to hit $40 trillion in debt
yes,
by 2030. Okay?
Okay, I would agree with you. But if we get – we're going to take back the White House. They ain't going to be able to steal it again. That is so not going to happen. So you got
mm-hmm.
Trump running. You're going to have DeSantis running. Who knows? Maybe Youngkin will run. Maybe Naomi out in North Dakota will run. Okay? These
North
are
North Dakota.
Strong, conservative – Republicans, and the people yeah. love that. And the way that's going is we took Virginia, okay, and we're going to – DeSantis is going to be reelected here in Florida because Nikki Frieder or Chris
Charlie
is not going to win, okay? And we can drill here in Florida. I'm surprised the governor hasn't even put that plan together. I'm surprised.
Yeah. Well,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
So say we take back the White House, right? We're
mm-hmm.
going to drill, baby, drill, and that we're going to sell it to the world, okay? We were doing that before, and that with those money and those profits, we can bring down the debt, and not in a long term. We can bring it down, okay? And people will go back to work, and there'll be confidence in the world again, seriously.
Well, you have to have a model that goes along with that because, you know, again, you're not talking about confiscating money from the oil companies. I mean, they're going to pay taxes. And this goes to a plan that I actually have reviewed with Steve Moore. If you know Steve
okay.
Moore, he's Trump's chief economic advisor. And,
okay.
and you know, he agrees with me. And I told him, look, here's my plan that I want to advance. Because, again, we're rapidly heading towards that $40 trillion, and what we need to do is we need to have an economic plan that says we have a two-year moratorium on increases in spending, okay? Now, this plan that Congress just passed the other day, you know, they gave themselves a 20% increase in the budget. So
yeah.
know, all that's got to stop. We have to have a two-year moratorium on any increases in our budget on spending, and then going forward after that, we have to set a maximum so that we do not exceed a mark of 1% below the average of the current and prior year's GDP percentage growth. So for example, if the GDP growth is 3.5%, then any spending increases we have can't be any more than 2.5%. on a spending increase, so that we are constantly running 1% below the GDP percentage growth. And what you'll have there is that you put the brakes on it, and you begin to slowly grow your way out of this problem. You know, the only other option that you have, and if you get to if you get up to $40 trillion by 2030, you're going to talk about, you know, some drastic changes. You're talking about major cuts in Medicare. You're going to be major cuts in Social Security because you won't be able to fund those fixed obligations. So this is something that we have to have right away, okay? We can't sit around on our hands. We have to have, you know, this moratorium immediately, and then we have to have a spending cap going forward and slowly work our way out of it. And when they talk about, you know, going after the rich and the rich don't pay their fair share, well, you guys know just as well as I do that the rich, so to speak, as you would call them, pay all the taxes in the country. I mean, 97% of taxes are paid by those making over the top 50% of wage earners out there. So, you know, they're already paying a fair share. And I pointed out to people, and I looked at all the billionaires in the United States. I looked at the income from the Fortune 500 companies. If you take all the income, net income from the Fortune 500 companies, and you take every asset from every billionaire, and if we were up to $40 trillion, the only thing that would do is move the debt back to about $36 trillion. And you will have destroyed the economic engine of the country, and you still have $36 trillion of debt, and we can't fund our fixed obligations. So, you know, it's a very, very real critical issue staring us in the face that we have to immediately attack.
I got one suggestion. How about we live within a budget?
How about a balanced budget amendment?
How about Congress and the Senate don't get paid $174,000 each and their perks and every other crap they get? How about we cut all that too?
I'm on board with that. I have no problem with that.
How about
that.
They get
you
a real job? They don't do much there anyway. I don't think I need to pay for their home, their clothes, their gas. All these people that work in their office, who needs all that? Okay? Simplify. Cut that.
Yeah.
That would be much better.
Well, they just gave their budget a 20% increase. So that's how out of control.
Well, because you have the Democrats who stole the election with the White House, because a lot of those individuals that they said they won, it was stolen. The Dominion machines stole the election. Our votes didn't count. Okay? And there are states that maniacally set up because of the COVID, which was a setup to take out Trump. It was.
That's right. There you go. There's a good example. You know, their agenda is to set up a series of crisis models.
Exactly.
Give them power and authority over the population in order to affect their transformation.
I agree with you. Obama, Zuckerberg, Fauci, Biden, Hunter Biden, all of them was a plan, and it's been for a while, even with Hillary. Because Trump, you know, Trump was going to kill them, killing the swamp. Nobody wants their money to go. Even the rhinos are unhappy about it. So they had to find a way to take Trump out.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me personally, I'm on board with cutting, because to be honest, I'm not going to make any money. I have no economic benefit whatsoever in this thing, because the money that I personally I poured into the campaign, you know, getting the building from 2020 going forward to 2022. I put more personal money into this out of my own pocket than I would ever make in a salary in Congress. So I like Trump. I'm working for free.
You know what else? We need term limits. Those pieces of crap that sit there on the Hill, it becomes a career. It's a paycheck. It's a lifestyle. It isn't about the country.
That's exactly right, and that's why I've already signed a commitment for term limits. If I can't get term limits passed through Congress, at the very least, you know, I have voluntarily term limited myself.
How many terms?
We will max out at the recommended 3 terms, which is 6 years.
Okay, that's what
you got them all sitting there living off our backs. It's very Marxist to me. So,
well, you know, my plan is to go up, do my duty for the country, and do no more than the 3 terms, And then when I come back, I'm going to do something that's completely different from anybody else you ever hear of. And that is that instead of just going off and into the sunset, you know, I will actively be involved in recruiting and finding my replacement, grooming them, and helping them get elected, which is you never see.
No, you don't see that.
This person that's going to be running, who? What was that on the Democrat ticket? Who were they recommending? What was the person's name?
Jared Moskowitz has registered, and so the Democrat Party is going to put all their resources behind him. They're smart, you know, when it comes to campaigning because
What does he do now?
Well, he was actually appointed by Governor DeSantis to head up the the Division of Emergency Management for the state of Florida. So he managed, you know, some of the COVID programs that we had.
Was he the mask mandator man?
No, he's not the mandator. You know, he did a lot of the mechanical work, you know, as far as coordinating, getting, you know, masks down here and getting, you know, the testing center set up, you know, getting the rollout for the vaccination, you know, managing.
So what does he actually know about a budget? Does he know anything?
You know, he's a younger guy that I've got about 20, I think I've got about 25 years on him, and I've managed multi-million dollar budgets in my past, and I look more into it, but he's got a law degree, you know, he lives down here in Parkland like I do, and, you know, he did, you know, ostensibly a pretty decent job up there in emergency management. Now, people ask me if DeSantis is going to endorse him, and you know, the answer is no, he's not, because, you know, Jared is a staunch Democrat, but I mean, he's proud of being a progressive. And so where, you know, he did a reasonable job in an administrative capacity, you know, from a political standpoint, you know, he's on the wrong side of the fence. So, But again, you know, the Democrats are already lined up behind him. I mean, 2 days after he signed up, they went out and they corralled every single elected Democrat that I know of in South Florida to do a release that they endorsed him. So,
you
I
can
mean,
debate
I mean, who,
him.
You know,
I'm
who
sure
has,
you, yeah. you run circles around the man. Trust me.
Yeah. Okay. Are you going to set up a debate?
Well, you know, if he wants to debate, you know, the problem I had with Ted is Ted wouldn't debate me. We tried doing it.
Yeah, but this guy is a new kid on the block. Nobody knows him from Adam.
We know that Ted never debated anybody. He we with Nicholas and with you last time, and he just runs on that because he figures that if he debate you, he would elevate you. And
you need to walk the whole district and introduce yourself and talk to each one like you've never campaigned before, you know, yeah. And tell them this and this. And are you what I mean? Are you unhappy? I mean, is this really the way you want things to go? You know, let them feel their pain. You know,
there's a couple of issues I want to get to. One of them is right to life. There's a few things that, you know, with what's going on with the Harpy bill that passed here and a couple other states. And so what's your support on right to life?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm glad you bring that up. That was one of the things I was going to hammer Ted on. Were you familiar with the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act?
Where Obama wanted to kill the kid afterwards. You know,
that's right. And the Republicans introduced that bill in 2020, the summer of 2020, and the Democrats voted it down, including Ted Deutch. And I read the bill, and it was one of the simplest bills that you would ever find. It was maybe a page and a half long. It didn't have, you know, a bunch of ancillary, you know, terms or other issues. It was a single issue bill that specifically said that if a child is born alive, then, you know, the doctor is mandated to provide the same standard of care to that child as he would any other patient. And this evolved out of the issue with up in New York. What they did was they basically legalized the murder of a child born alive. And, you know, Ted tried to dance around it and said he voted against this because he didn't know it. We didn't need it. Basically he says because they didn't legalize killing a child born alive. And the reality is that they did. You know, they played fast and loose with the language. And I'll give you an example. Basically what they did is they decriminalized it. So if your speed limit on 95 is 65 miles an hour, and then they put out a press release that says, well, you know, oh, by the way, you know, if we catch you doing 95 miles an hour on 95, you're not going to get a ticket. You don't have to go to court. There is no fine. You know, basically we're going to do nothing about it, notwithstanding the fact that the speed limit is 65. And so the same thing there, they didn't say that murdering a child was legal. What they did was they decriminalized it. So in other words, nothing would happen to the doctor or parent for killing a child that was born alive. So, you know, originally, you know, in 2020, you know, my commitment was the number one bill that I was going to introduce or be part of introducing if it wasn't otherwise introduced sooner was the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act that would, you know, as well as outlaw sale of fetal parts, terminating government funding, you know, directly or indirectly of abortions, you know, requiring counseling for alternative choices and informed consent of the individuals and, you know, ultimately restrictions that are, you know, minimally consistent with the Texas heartbeat law. You know, that's the direction I was headed. And, you know, I still, you know, still have that position. You know, ultimately, we need to get to a point where, you know, hands down, we shouldn't be having abortions anywhere in this country that is outside of the heartbeat bill. And, you know, the ultimate objective would be to continue to walk that back. But certainly, you know, if we can limit it to 6 weeks at this point in time, I mean, look at the number of lives that you would save. And, you know, this is another one. When I talk about these people being disingenuous with their bills and with their programs, you know, the community, the minority communities, especially Black communities, you know, have always been, you know, pelted with these programs that sound like they're good for them. You know, they're spun that way, but the reality is that they're horrible and they keep them anchored in horrible conditions. So an abortion is a good example because 36% of abortions are performed on Black women, and Black women are only 13% of the female population. So,
you know why? Because Planned Parenthood, which began by Margaret Sanger, was about the extinction of Black babies.
But that's absolutely correct. And yet they spin it by saying that, you know, we're taking care of the Black population because they can't afford abortions and we're going to give them abortions. And all you're doing is you're promoting abortions in the Black community, not giving them counseling. And then you turn around and you sell aborted fetal parts. You know, they engage in, you know, the horrific practice of the late-term abortions, government-funded abortions. So at the end of the day, I was just blown away when they defeated that bill. Because no matter what one's view would be on abortion, I would say that a rational person would say that it's inconceivable that we as a society would condone the termination of a child is actually born alive. I mean, it's just absolutely inconceivable to me.
It is. It's maniacal.
Also, the other big thing is parents' rights is a big thing around here. What one in Virginia is parental rights. We just got a big bill passed here in the state of Florida, parental rights, and it's happening around the country. And there's two things we need to do in education. One is to get rid of the Department of Education out of D.C. and bring it back home down to the states. But the other thing is that we're at a point where we need to have a law that gives parents the right to discuss They want to be active in their own kids' education and get rid of the recruitment, indoctrination, and CRTs and indoctrinating people to be something they're not, and get rid of the LGBTQ, whatever, lobby group that's actually poisoning our kids. And, and as a congressman, how would you go about doing it in the time remaining?
Well, I've got, basically three fundamental positions on that. First of all, I would support legislation that would impose civil and criminal penalties for any employee or contractor of the federal or state agency that would willfully engage in political persecution or repression of citizens lawfully exercising their constitutional rights, meaning that, it's persecution of parents down at the school board is unacceptable. And I would advance a bill that would impose, like I said, civil and criminal penalties for doing that. Now, parents have a right to not only have a voice in determining the content of the education of the children, but, they have a right to be completely informed as to the form and content of the education and materials used. So in addition to, the other bill, I would also include that we have legislation that would mandate curriculum transparency by an academic institution receiving federal funds. And so, such legislation would provide, again, for civil and criminal penalties for any institution or their staff that would willfully engage in any act or practice that would conceal from a minor's parents the content or existence of any counseling or education, as well as any formal or informal programs or material or media that they create or show to the kids. And so to restore America's faith in government, I would also support, a full congressional investigation into political spying and perjury through the use of government personnel and resources to undermine, not only parents, but also to undermine the Trump administration. Because, people talk about the insurrection. The insurrection wasn't January 6th. The insurrection was the 4 years that occurred prior to January 6th when they tried to advance this phony Russian collusion thing that was manufactured by a coalition of the DNC, the Clinton campaign, the FBI, the Justice Department, and the CIA. They all had individuals within those organizations all had a hand in this and trying to undermine and take out a freely elected president. So we need to get underneath that.
Okay. Also, we do have a very bad epidemic in addiction. Fentanyl's coming into the country left and right. Down here in South Florida, we had over 10 people overcome from fentanyl. It's laced with cocaine laced with fentanyl. In Broward County alone, every 2 hours now, two people have OD'd because of drug addiction. And it's getting very serious. What would you do to stop this or help? And would you increase addiction services and programs to help people in recovery?
Well, I'm one of these guys that believes in addressing an issue at the source as opposed to wiggling it on the back end or putting Band-Aids on an open wound. And, first of all, everybody has to understand that fentanyl is coming from China. And the very first step is to step up and address that issue. So, I would, reject and condemn the Communist China Party strategic and corrupt influence over our government, our media, our academic institutions, and American industry. They are into us thick as thieves, and they're causing this problem, and they're getting the fentanyl into the United States. So just as with prohibitions, that we have on domestic abuse of Americans by monopolies, the abuse of America's open society and free market, by these foreign countries, including China, to the detriment of the U.S. and our national security, that has an end. And so, I would diligently work to introduce legislation or co-sponsor that, for one, would expand the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act and the companion laws. These changes would not only prohibit U.S. citizens and entities from bribing foreign government officials, to the benefit of their business, but would also include civil and criminal penalties associated with U.S. citizens and entities and foreign actors who bribe or coerce U.S. government officials, individuals, businesses, and academic institutions for the predatory gain of these foreign governments. because at the end of the day, they are getting the cover, okay? It is they who are destabilizing our society. They're responsible for the open border. The open border, okay, is where the fentanyl is coming from. And the reason why we have an open border is this total structured plan to disrupt our society at its core, which includes having the open border. So again, you got to cut the snakes off by the head, right? So that's where we would start. And you know, it's great that we can have programs that, you know, to help people who have addiction or users of fentanyl. But at the end of the day, you got to get to it at the source.
Okay. Also, we're running out of time, so we'd like to thank you for coming out, coming on the show. We are, I believe Scott and I are endorsing you for Congress here in CD22. We're going to put it on our radio show and our podcast that we are endorsing you. So that will help you, and we'll give you a link for this interview, so this way you can use it as a means to mark and promote your campaign. It helps. Also, I want to thank you so much. Can you give out where our listeners could reach out to you and support your campaign and volunteer?
Yep. You know, everybody can reach out to me through the website. It is jimprudenforcongress.com. That's JIMPRUDENFORCONGRESS.com. And on that website, I have the most extensive platform and analysis of any candidate running in the country that I've seen. So, you know, you can see exactly what my positions are and why they are there and get good background information. You can also see my background and my qualifications. They're extensive. That's on the site. There are tabs there where folks can hit a tab and put their information in if they want to be a volunteer. You know, we'll reach back out to them if they sign up to be a volunteer and help us out. And we have a donate tab. So, you know, we certainly need all the help we can get on the donations. Like I said, you know, between the last go-around and this go-around, I think that I'm somewhere in the neighborhood of $250,000 personally into this endeavor. And, you know, I gladly do it, you know, to try and save our country from going into a ditch. And I hope folks, you know, will join in and help out.
Okay. I want to thank you so much for coming on. We need to get you back on because we only touched the basis on this because you're so intelligent. So you're so into it and you know everything. And you're a perfect candidate to take over and do CD and represent the community in CD22. And it's a nice area from Fort Lauderdale all the way up to past Boca near the water.
Yep.
So it's really good. And I want to thank you so much for coming on.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm going to point out real quick that 22 is going to be renumbered to 23. The legislature passed the new maps, and they renumbered the districts. So as soon as the governor signs it, it's going to be renumbered.
If you're going to be 23, so what's 23 going to be?
The same thing as 22 was. They just renumbered it.
So
it's the same
thing.
So it's going to go into a court battle.
Well, it may. We'll have to see what pans out, but tentatively speaking, it's the same area. They just renumbered it because, again, they introduced one additional district into the state of Florida. We picked up one district, so they had to renumber them.
All right. That's going
to
be interesting.
Maybe they shifted Debbie's to be all Republican.
Well, I think I heard a story that she's retiring too. There's
and
about
Lois Frankel.
40, there's 31 Democrats retiring, but they're supposed to go up to about 50. So anyway, in the next few days. Anyway, I want to thank you for coming on. And
yes,
you're
thank
going
you.
To
Excellent
and,
patriot.
And we need to get you on again. Primaries in August. We want to get you on before that, and definitely before November.
Oh, absolutely, Joe. Just any time, I'd be glad to come on.
All right.
Thank
you so much. Have a great day now. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Okay, you too. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Anytime. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right. Now, we got a new sponsor. I'll play that. It's called Alpro. Listen to the
sponsor. Hi, this is Joe Pro from Al Pro Ceilings and Painting, your home improvement expert. Let me coach you on the benefits of removing popcorn ceilings. So why should you go through all that work to get rid of those popcorn ceilings? For starters, it gives your home a much more sleek and modern look. You'll be surprised at how much of a difference it makes. It's also a good idea to remove it if you're planning to sell your home soon. Many buyers will shy away from taking on a place they know they'll have to do extra renovations on right away. From an aesthetic standpoint, when the surfaces start to get older, they can often start to yellow. This can also happen if there's any water damage. In the long run, it's better to remove it rather than just painting over it again, since it will only happen again. Get in touch today. If you've got some popcorn ceilings that you're ready to say goodbye to, let us know. Book a free, no obligation estimate for your interior painting job today. Just give us a call at Broward, 954-484-1616, Boca, 954-755-5420, Palm Beach, 561-439-9998, or visit us online at www.al-proceilings.com.
Okay, it's Al Pro Ceilings, and they are the sponsor for the Truth Is Out There radio show, along with many other podcasts, as well as the TV show coming on. I want to thank Jim Bruton for coming on. We endorsed him. I want to thank Scarlett. And we got a surprise coming on. I just got confirmation on two people that they expect to call. One is the head of AEW, Tony Khan, is calling in. I don't know if it's going to be at 7 or 7:15. And Matt Gaetz is expected to call in also around 7:30 on Sunday. And we're working on that. And so I want to thank everybody for listening. Again, we need to change this country. We need to get rid of the communists, the socialists, the Marxists in here. We need to get our rights back. We need to get our children back. And they're going after our kids. This
and one it's not even about party one. Anymore. It's just about common sense. Okay?
Right. And they're going
if
after the children.
You want to be poor. You want to work your tail off and then spend it on gas and food and just enough to pay your bills, and that's your life. Is that what you want to do? Then you keep walking the path you're going. But if you want it better,
Democrat.
And if you want the MAGA, Make America Great Again, and there are many people who are behind that and are strong, then you go in that path.
Also, I would like everybody to take a look at the video that was done today by President Zelensky out of Ukraine, and what he said in front of Congress. You can watch it online everywhere. It's important. We need
everyone
to do the
should
no-
see
control.
That.
It's
very in-depth.
They're killing kids. Russia's killing kids. Russia bombed a theater. We don't know how many people killed there. They were shooting people online waiting for
food. It was a
shelter.
There could have been 1,000 people in there.
We don't know what it is. But the bottom line is this is bad, and we need to do it. And we don't have a reason.
Oh, but you know what I was reading about today before we go up? Putin's in the financial part is about to fall apart.
Yes, he has.
He can't
today's
the money.
First day, and this is about 2 weeks. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for coming on. See you Sunday.
Hold it. Stop the presses. This is Scarlett telling everybody, have a great week. Enjoy. We'll be back on Sunday. And God bless this country. And God bless everyone. Good night, all.
Good night, everyone.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas,